Hi, I'm Marty Grizzani, and this is the Marty Grizzani Show. As a full-time real estate investor and business owner, I have a real fascination of finding the key principles for business success and personal development. This show is a reflection of my personal mission to find out what truly makes somebody successful in business and in life. We will find tools and tactics that they've used to reach those levels. If you're the type of person who is not satisfied with average and you have a hunger for learning that will never cease, this show is for you. Welcome to the show. You know, guys, this is the Marty Grizzani Show. Welcome back. I am super excited to talk to this gentleman. He's a friend, but you know, Louis Mayer, he was kind of hard for me to like really wrap up in a sentence. So I'll give you a few of them. He's a serial entrepreneur. I think that's like in his DNA. He's an investor. He's a restaurateur. He's a philanthropist. He's a husband. He's a father, which, by the way, congrats to you and Dana. And I just want to say, Louis Mayer, welcome to the show.
Very kind introduction, Marty. Happy to be here.
One thing that I really admire about you is you've always had an infectious positivity. And I know it personally when I meet you, you know, it's always infectious. And I know that it's obviously transferred over into business, into the business world because of your professional success. You know, first, you know, two things. Is that natural? I mean, I know you like people. Is that part of it? It's got to be. For me, it is. And then the other thing is, how hard was it to keep that during COVID when it looked like when it was serious issues were occurring, I'm sure, with your businesses? Can you go into that a bit?
Yeah, sure. Well, first, thank you for having me on the show. And don't sell yourself short. You've done some really great things in real estate here. And I'm excited to grab coffee with you outside of this to pick your brain a little bit. But so to answer your first question, first of all, am I echoing? Am I good?
You sound okay.
Okay. Good.
Are you echoing?
Sometimes it echoes. No.
Okay. No, I think you sound good.
Perfect. So to answer your first question about positivity, just like entrepreneurship, serial entrepreneurship is in my DNA, so is positivity. And it started at a young age because as a young kid, I had like a negative outlook, very young. I'm talking elementary school. And my mother drilled it in my head to the point where I like stopped being negative. One day that switch flipped. And I would say it was like, probably like fifth, sixth grade around there, that transition time, we're all growing up. And I remember just thinking like the importance of positivity. And like, if you want to do things, if you want to grow and you want to learn, you want to do things, you have to be positive, have to keep an open mind. But as I've grown in my business career, I've really started to look deeper into things like the law of attraction and manifesting. And, you know, people talk about those things and some people laugh about them, but like, it's very real. It's 100% very real. You put your mind to something positively, you can achieve it. And, you know, those are like values, like the positivity value is something that we instill with all of our team across hospitality, across marketing, anything that we do. But I appreciate you recognizing that because that's like priority number one, you know, positivity. Everyone talks about doing what you love. That's great. But like, you know, let's keep it real. We don't always love everything we do,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's not reality, right? So if you can constantly keep that positivity and just know that like, maybe this is another challenge that I have to go through to get to that, you know, that positive outcome. And to kind of segue into your second question, that's where my mindset was. I treated COVID as a challenge that I was up for. Like the shutdowns for the hospitality, you know, I treated it as a challenge that I was up for, but I also treated it as a time to reflect and say, okay, let's talk about the hospitality first. Like we're never going to get uninterrupted time to reflect on our process, reflect on our procedures, look at everything. And we're never going to get this because it's always hustle and bustle. So, I worked with our business manager, Isabella, our CFO, Jed, the three of us, and then occasionally brought in like our managers, whatever, and started to like just dive into that deeply and create a whole new process and really flush things out. So when I look at it, I turned what I would consider a very negative time into a positive time. Mm. And that's the hospitality side of things. And then, you know, real estate, that's a whole other ball game. You experience, I'm sure, worse than most. But as far as the marketing goes during COVID, it was an unknown time. And, you know, contractual obligations aside, people were like, this, what do we, you know, we need to put our retainers on hold. We don't know what's going to happen, you know? And so I vowed, because in my mind, I'm like, business is going to have to get, it's going to have to come back to normal to some degree. How that comes back to normal, whether it's virtual, whatever, it's going to have to, no matter how long this lasts. So I vowed to not lay anyone off for marketing. I said, we're not doing that. We're a strong enough business that we can sustain this. And so, you know, fast forward, I think it was only like 30, maybe 45 days where we just, you know, everyone was, hey, we need to go on hold. It was like, okay, you know, we can go on hold. But fortunately, we had a diverse enough portfolio that when some started to go on hold, the others started to scale up, like our staffing agencies, our e-commerce businesses. So we really only saw like a 30, 45 day weird period of lull in revenue. But then after 45 days, even those customers that went on hold were like, all right, this is the normal for now. We just got to get back to it. So, wow. Yeah. So, you know, I just treated everything as a positive in ways that I could like use this to my advantage for clarity.
No, that's really, really good, guys. You should go back and re-listen to that, because I really believe that that positivity mindset, you know, it doesn't always come naturally, right? Like you said, you'd started at as a young age with maybe not the most positive attitude, right? And I think that happens as we mature, we start to realize, you know, what's important. Thank God for your mom for just, you know, bearing right. that into your head. I mean, what a blessing that is, because, you know, it served you so well, right? And I think that it's important to constantly work on that, and because you want to be able to give it. So you have to be at a top level of positivity in order to give it to your team, because they're giving it to the clients, right? So it's all of that is really, really important. And I think what happens in those times, and I think this is what you did, is, you know, there is like the flight or fight kind of way of doing it, right? But a lot of times people freeze. And I think, you know, that's so good to hear that you just went right through it and fought right through that with that positivity, with that mindset, because a lot of people didn't, and they're not here any longer. And that's probably a good thing, as the market always knows the way to go. You know, there's something to be said about with that positivity, though. There is what I've seen, Louis, and I wanted your opinion on this. You know, you've been a business owner for a long, long time. There's something with urgency that I believe you have. And because of the continually, you know, scaling, continually acquiring businesses, you know, acquiring, you know, investing. Why are you like that? I've always asked this question to people, because I have it. I didn't really know what it was until I just kind of, it was like, it was just an urgency. I wake up and I need to get after it, and I don't know why, but do you feel that way?
That is too funny. So that's another one of our values at all of the, with all of the businesses. Yes, I do. And I feel that's a big differentiator in the way that we operate, is when you, urgency, like, but proactive urgency, not reactive urgency.
Yes.
Reactive urgency is dangerous, right? So proactive urgency is, you know, forward thinking, always keeping your mind beyond what's next. So yeah, urgency is a big part of our day-to-day and our culture. And I really do believe that it separates us from across all the businesses. It separates us from the rest. Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a thing where it's people become complacent when they don't have that urgency. And cause you know, I'm sure you've gotten told a few times like, hey, you know, be careful, slow down. I personally, that's what my parents would tell me all the time. You got to slow down. You got to be careful. And you understand as a parent, right? Like, okay, I could see that being something you would say because, you know, you love your child, but really that doesn't help you. That I don't think that's actually a positive thing. I really believe that, you know, if you have that burn, which is what I believe it is, it's a burn. You really want to act on it. And, especially if you're coming at it with a positive sort of spin, it's going to work out. Yeah. I think that's really good. You know, another thing that I think that you do very well, and it's funny because it's something that I've started doing. It started being cognizant of it. I wish I would have done it so early is, you know, you built a personal brand before there really was such a thing, before it was cool, in my opinion. Actually, I would even say that it wasn't cool. Like, I mean, what I mean, it was something that people,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, people probably thought, yeah. Hey, you know, here's another thing about that. And I'm having you on because I want you to talk about it, but I'm also like, I have these thoughts and I need to get them out. And it's so many people have, they might say something about it. I was, you know, before when I would see people in real estate and they would talk about what they were doing, I was always like, is this the way to do it? And I was kind of like hemming and hawing about it. But the funny thing is that the message was always good. Like the message was always good. I didn't always maybe like resonate with it, but I was like, yeah, I can understand that's important to say it. But the thing that I'm getting at is the people who say maybe like, you know, who do you think you are kind of thing, right? Who do you think you are kind of do that? Those are the, nobody that's at a higher level than you are would ever say anything like that. You know, that's the rub. Nobody who you would actually respect who is going to say something would ever say it. They would love it, if anything, because yeah. It's only the people who are not doing as much as the other person are the people that are going to say something. How did you start it so early and then stick with it? I mean, what did you see that no one else did? I'm just curious your take on that.
Sure. So there's two things to unpack here. And I think I want to go back before I answer that one. One was, Yeah, when we talk about urgency and, you know, the whole idea of slow down, right? You said like that was said to you a lot and it was said to me. And it's like you said, it's not about slow down. It's about balance and efficiency, right? It's actually about do more, but make it easier.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, How can you be more efficient, right?
So good.
And then as it pertains to like a value that we instill, this actually, everyone used to say, what is it called? Work-life balance, right? Work-life balance. And a good friend of mine, Jeff, he's the founder of Digital Hive, and now he sold it, but he now has an executive leadership group called Profound, which if there's other executives or serial entrepreneurs, people listening to this, I highly recommend. But one thing he said to me has stuck with me forever. And it's work-life balance. I'm sorry, work-life harmony, not work-life balance, because it's not a balance. It truly isn't. It's about harmony. It's about finding that harmony in, you know, balance is 50-50, and we know it's not realistic, right? So again, it's just about finding that harmony and, you know, diving into something that is going to allow you to find that health, harmony, and happiness. Okay, so that was that first part. I wanted to unpack that little bit.
No, thank you.
Yeah. And then the second part, refresh me, the second part of the question was,
well, the personal brand part, I think, you know, you did it before anybody.
Okay. So that kind of just, I think at a young age, owning a media company at a young age, that kind of came natural, right?
Got
because you're surrounded by cameras. So capture, right? And with anything that I was involved in, there was always photography and video, whether it be the Just Breathe Foundation and the CF Ball, or, you know, we did the Go Green Day with Shane Prince or Patrick Carr. You know, there was just always things where media would naturally be involved in that process. And I genuinely don't think I sought that out. I think because of the involvement and the things that I was doing or involved in, that naturally happened. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I tend to focus less on the outside and more on the inside, because I feel like I can make a bigger impact on like the audience that I work directly with, or the people that I work directly with, whether it's employees or vendors or partners or whatever, you know. So as I've grown, I've started to shrink that a little bit, like shrink my focus and let it like organically grow out.
That's really good. And let me tell you something, that's really hard too. It's hard to change the focus from the outside into the inside, because, and I know that with employees that we have, it's a difficult thing when you are a visionary to go and then try to explain that and to, you know, somebody who's going to then implement it, and they're not going to do as good of a job, right? But that allows you to, that's the only way to really grow though. That's the only way to like really have like a real business. You know, you can't do it obviously by yourself, but it's hard to like take that time to invest in that inside, because you're so used to maybe, you know, getting after it and just like, do you know what I'm talking about? Like it's hard to really to do that. Was there a shift where you're like, I got to do a better job? Because that's one of my problems that I'm having is really taking the time to like pour in, because I have to like go out and get it myself. I have like a salesperson mentality, and what I really need to be doing is you know, giving that to my people to go after it. You know, what are your thoughts there?
So I know that one of your favorite questions to ask is, you know, what do you feel your best asset is, or best attribute is?
Yes.
And so it ties into that transition point, and what I believe now my best attribute is, and that's empowering others to be the best version of themselves. And when it wasn't until I realized that my role as a leader was to empower others to be the best version of themselves, it wasn't until that point that I realized the value of working the inside out, like working on the inside of the organization out. And, you know, when I started to have that mindset, everything changed. And that's when growth really started to become serious. Like growth became an actual, you know, things well, started to really progress.
Let's stay there, because this is really good. So when you did have that maybe aha moment of empowering your team, you know, what did that look like? Was that more just having team meetings and getting more people involved? Was that just letting people, you know, because one of the things that, you know, I try to do, and I don't know if this is something that you agree with or not, is I just trust people 100% right from the beginning. And that's kind of also at the same time, it's bit me a bit with business. Cause I'm just like, give me a reason not to trust you. But in the beginning, I'm going to give you 100% trust. You know, is that the mindset with it when you know, trusting your team and, you know, trusting, like, what is that for you? Like, how did you empower?
100%. You have to, in my opinion, you have to, I think the old mentality was, don't trust anybody, you know, let them earn your trust. But when you have that guard up, it's hard to create that connection to be able to empower them and build that trust and build that relationship. So I'm of the same mentality you are. And if you think about it, think about leaders. The best leaders grow around other people.
Yes.
That's the only way to grow as a leader, right? So it's important to make sure that as a leader, you're empowering others to grow, to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. And then I think that's part of like with when you said like being a leader, you know, being a CEO, you know, let's talk a little bit about your firstborn, Brandman, right? And your firstborn. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what does that look like? Like what's, it's evolved so much, I guess, for people. I know Brandman, right? But for the people who don't maybe know, I guess, what would you say, you know, what is it? Who, what are you? What do you do? Just so people can, if they, you know, maybe it will resonate them to, if they need services or something along those lines. What is Brandman?
Sure. Yeah. So traditionally it started off as just a social media marketing agency. A good friend of mine, Jason, I was just doing like promotional stuff, promoting bars and restaurants. And one of the owners of one of the restaurants that I worked with came to me and just said, how are you doing? And I said, social media, Twitter and Facebook. And at that time, Twitter had just exploded. Instagram was just starting and Facebook was obviously, you know, full swing then. And we were just leveraging social media. So he said, you got something here. You need to do something. Like you need to do something with it. So I did. I said, all right, yeah, I do. And started a social media marketing agency. And from there, it's elevated itself into, you know, full service advertising, marketing, PR, and creative. It wasn't PR and full service advertising up until about a month ago, not even, maybe 3 weeks ago, we acquired a company, a marketing agency, a PR agency out of Ithaca. So we just became full service with that because we were primarily focused on the digital side and they were primarily focused on the traditional and PR side. So collectively, we're now full service, PR, advertising, you know, that kind of stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's been good. I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's a lot of us, right? There's a lot of agencies. But I think, you know, the reason that we've started to grow really is truly because we do stick by our mission and values and we honor them. And we also attract really great people. We focus on the people. Like we do the 4-day work week and we've been doing the 4-day work week since the beginning. We don't work on Fridays. Yeah. So, you know, there's unlimited paid time off, there's unlimited vacation. Like our thing is, you know, a lot of people that are scared to go the unlimited and scared to do the 4-hour work week. Our thing is like, if you build a strong enough culture, other people on the team don't want to let other people on the team down.
Right. Yes.
So they're going to do what they have to do. So if they're like, you know what, I want to take a 2-week vacation. They're going to do what they need to do to make sure that over that 2 weeks, if they cut out, they've left their team in a position to succeed while they're gone. So we open that flexibility and let's not lose sight of, here's a good one, right? Like when people ask me like, well, you know, how are you working less hours? How is your work week 36 hours? And how are you not working on Fridays? And how do you undo unlimited? As humans, we become extremely efficient. Okay. And we're only becoming more and more and more efficient.
Yes.
So we should be rewarded for efficiency, right? Why should time is valuable. Time is not the asset, right? The asset is efficiency. If I can do something that it takes person B, if I can do that in an hour and it takes them 8 hours, I should be rewarded for those 7 hours. I shouldn't have to do 8 times the work.
Sure.
You follow
that's
me?
That's really good.
So
that's real. I've never heard that. I've never heard that, you know, it's not, time is of course valuable, like you said, but it's the efficiency that's the key. Yeah, that's so good. And I think when you do stuff like that, it that's empowering in itself, right?
Absolutely.
That's empowering in itself. And that is another way to get people to buy in. And it probably, in a way, puts, and not that this is, you know, it's good or bad. I think it's good personally, but it puts pressure on people a little bit more to get it done. So now there's a little more urgency in the office, which is great.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. One of my good friends, also customers, but really good friends, Lindsay McCutcheon. She's the CEO of Career Start, Talavera Way, of Old Coast. She has a series of tech stuff. She's building an app. But anyways, one of the things that she said to me that helped me in my professional journey was she's in a staffing agency. So she lives and breathes like people, and you know, that's her thing. I said, people are resilient and they will rise to the occasion, right? And with that mindset, like when you empower people, like we are, if we believe and we find value in what we're doing, we will rise to the occasion. We'll rise to the challenge. You know, if I can simplify that a little bit, right? Like if I don't know how to run Facebook ads, but I want to learn how to run Facebook ads, I'm going to learn how to run Facebook ads, and I'm going to keep learning how to run Facebook ads, right? So it's like people will rise to the challenge.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think if anyone would know that, it's somebody who is in that business, the people business. You kind of see that every single day. I think the empowering thing is so good. What else do you do to empower employees or teammates? Like, how else can you do that in a way where, again, because when I said it puts pressure on people, I believe pressure is a privilege, right? I think that's a good thing. But what else can people do? Because I'm like thinking for myself, again, this is my show. I can ask whatever question I want. It's for me. And the people that are listening, you go with it if you want. Maybe it resonates, but it's helpful for me, Louis. So keep spitting knowledge. Like, what else can we do to empower?
I believe that people say that their culture is good.
Right.
But is it truly good?
Right. That's what I'm talking about. You know? I want to get like the real nuts and bolts here, because you always hear the culture. Tell me about, like, how do you truly build the culture? Is it, I think it starts with you, right? Obviously.
Yeah. But culture is also very organic. And, you know, I think that, like, especially in the marketing industry, everyone says we have the best culture, right? But do you? And I'm not saying that we have, I hope we do. Everyone's happy. Everyone's healthy. We love what we do. Like, we have very little turnover. But I challenge, like, if you're asking me what I think is important for that empowering and everything, I challenge every executive, you, CEOs, whatever, to really dive in and say, do we have the best culture? Do we truly believe we have the best culture, right? Because, you know, everyone has flashy websites and they show them, you know, walking the dog and this and that, right? But like, do you actually focus on it? You know, another thing that we talk about that I am not afraid to talk about is mental health. It was taboo for so long. And it's like, mental health is so freaking important, right? And because, like, it's not a value of ours, but it is something that I openly talk about in our general Slack channel, in our WhatsApp channels for the hospital. I say, everybody knows mental health is important to us. And we do things like, if somebody speaks up and says, I think this person's going through something, we're not going to dive into their personal business if they don't want to tell us about it. But we will say things like, hey, you know, you've been working your tail off. You need to take 5-7 days off, whatever it is. We'll make sure it's paid. Go focus on you, you know, just take some time for you.
That's
because
amazing.
Something's maybe going on in their personal life. So, you know, it's really just focusing on the people, making sure like mental health is important, making sure they're becoming the best version of themselves and like actually sticking to that. You know, it's one thing to say that you're doing that, but like, babysitting that process and making sure that I am actually doing the things that I say I live by.
I think that's it. I think it it starts, I think a lot of the times, like what you were saying, like if we can recognize what's going on in like our team's life, and especially with mental health, right? You know, as because we all struggle with that, and it's really, really tough. And I think it's always good to, you know, one of the things I heard is like when people are going through things, I think a lot of times people, that's when a lot of people are like, well, I'll give them time. Let's give them some space. I think the exact opposite. I think you got to get right into them at that point. You know, if someone, you know, like I always thought like, you know, this is a kind of a different example, but if someone loses somebody, right, you lose a loved one. A lot of times like, well, let's, I don't know. I don't want to call them. I don't want to bother them. No, that's when they need you most.
Yeah.
So that's good. I really like that. And I'm sure everyone in your organization appreciates that. Last two things, cause I want to be cognizant of your time, you know, in regards to,
I got a ton of time for you, Marty.
In regards to personal brand. So that's a big part of brandment, obviously, is branding, is making sure that message is there. It's really difficult, as I'm finding, as I'm building mine, to like, you know, what is the brand? What when people think of you immediately, what do they think of, right? That can be very difficult, especially if you yourself don't know, right? If you yourself don't know, how's the agency? I mean, you can ask some really provocative questions and you can try to bring that out. But again, you want to have an idea on that. Is your opinion that, because I think this, is your opinion that the personal brand is so critical now more than ever, business brand, not even business brand, personal brand. Like if you're an owner of a company, if you're an investor, if you're anybody, you know, because I'm always thinking that they're going to look you up. People are going to look your name up, right? And what are they going to see? I believe that is really your digital reputation. Like stop thinking of it any other way other than your digital reputation. Am I on the right path there? Like, are you thinking the same thing?
You know, I do. But I don't know that I've ever thought that people are going to look me up. I think I focus on the interpersonal relationship, right? And I would hope that no matter what the scenario, no matter what people have been through, that I'm going to give them my time and build my relationship with them, regardless of what people say and people may say about somebody else. Now, I hope I have a good reputation, but you know,
absolutely, you do. You're on the show,
but yeah, but the reality of the situation is that I treat it as like interpersonal connection. And as I've started, like I said, work on the inside out, I focused more on building that relationship. I don't care. Like, I'll give you an example. I have a friend who someone else may think, that guy's an asshole, right? But I've connected with this person and I understand him, right? And to me, it's like, this guy, he's battled things mentally, like he's gone through some things. I understand him. So while maybe the way he talks to you, you think is like, not rude, but yeah, maybe rude, right? Like maybe that's the way you think that person, I just know that's who he is, that's his DNA. And I think it's like, you know, he's clearly going through something to communicate like that, right? So like I try and look at things a little bit more holistically and not just like dive into someone's Google search or, you know, but to your point, I'm sure that that's out there, right? And I've never thought of it like that. I'm sure there are people, you know, maybe like when, for example, maybe when we were going through doing the acquisition, maybe the founder, Lori, maybe she did search me, right? Maybe she said, before I do this, I want to see what this person's about. And, you know, is he on any boards? Does he do anything philanthropy, right? Maybe she did do that, you know? And so I think that stuff probably in a digital world exists. But like, as long as you're a good person and as long as you have values that contribute to society, to your team, to whoever, then it all falls into place. Just, you know, really just being a good person and living by your values.
You know, that's incredible because in you think about the branding, I think like, again, and we're going to go back to it because we've already talked about how what separates you is you've been focused on the inside and not the outside. And of course, this is the, and if it, so what I'm getting at is it's no surprise you're successful because of that thought process, because you literally think that, right? Now I'm over here on the other side of the things going, yeah, of course she's looking you up, Louis. Of course employees are looking you up, Louis. Of course they're all looking you up. But you are not, you are so, and my thought is this, that part is going to take care of itself as long as I'm doing my part inside, right? If I'm doing the good parts inside, the outside will take care of itself, right? So, but it's just funny. I mean, I would fight you on that fact to say that, I would say that it's critical. So for the people who they need, listen, people are going to look you up. That's what's going to happen. It's not a, maybe they are, maybe they're not. They are, you know, now Louis is in a position where he's been a business owner for a long time now. So he's not probably always thinking about those things. And he knows, well, I know my reputation is going to be amazing online because I'm doing this, 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 and this. And that's amazing. But for people who are new, people are listening right now. If, like, for instance, if you're an investor, if you're someone, a business owner, or you're selling something, if they look you up and on your Facebook profile is you just, you know, every picture is you a drunken mess. Again, I like to drink, but if but if everything that you're branding is not what you want to show, clean that up. Like one of my things that is just one of my pet peeves is if you're an investor, okay, and your Facebook profile is like you, you know, hanging in your car, smoking a joint or something like that, you're probably not going to like command money from me if I'm looking to maybe invest in one of your deals. Right. So you got to be cognizant of that branding, because I think that it is your digital reputation and it's a way to separate yourself from everybody else. But I will agree that if you double down on, you know, the inside and building that up and being a good person, you know, hopefully that takes care of itself. But we do have tools now to maybe enhance these things.
So I stand corrected. I stand corrected. And I'm going to tell you why. I thought about it. So originally when I thought about the question, I was thinking more about like myself and my brand. And I think the answer to my question is primarily because like I'm so focused on building like interpersonal connection that
yes.
I put that digital presence aside. But to your point, yes, if someone looked me up, I'm sure it's probably, you know, it talks about, well, I don't know what it talks, whatever, right? But I stand corrected, because now that I think about it from an employer, yes, 100%. When we have applicants, that's what we do. We right. search that person.
Right.
We looked at their LinkedIn. We
right.
see where they were. Right. So, you know, and I think sometimes like when I first thought of that question, like I'm so focused on interpersonal connection now that I think I lose sight of like, whoa, there's actually a digital world out there that exists, right?
Yeah. No, but, and I know, you know, that you're philosophically thinking in that what you said totally makes sense. But obviously, like you just stated, when you took just a quick second just to really think about the, you know, the other side of the question, yeah, of course, right? We have to be cognizant of that. No, that's cool. Sure. And that's what this is about. This show is about questioning and making sure we're all, you know, getting better. Hey, what I got to do to like, what am I thinking that I'm thinking that's incorrectly? Okay. Last thing, because I really think this is cool.
Cool.
You've acquired two companies. Can you just give an overview of what does that even look like? Like, are you going after these companies? I mean, I'm thinking like in my brain as a salesperson, like I'm pounding the phone for like companies that are going to, I can cross sell their clients. I can, you know, whatever that might look like. I can, you know, they're gonna seller finance me the company. I'm gonna, like, I don't know. There's just all these thoughts I have. Like, how does this even occur? How do you even think about acquiring an agency? Is it because you want to take the employees? Like, wow, this is a great way to just take on seven really rock star employees. Like, what is it?
So this all started actually. So, you know, we talk about what you think is my, but what I think is my best attribute. But let's talk about what I think is my worst attribute.
Thank you. Thank you for being open.
And to me, for some reason, I am not a good salesperson. And I realized that, like, selling service to another company, that's not my forte. I am not good at it. And what I have realized is that because I'm good at interpersonal connection, learning, being open, right? Like having deeper conversation, for example, with the founders of these companies, talking about their legacy, talking about what, if there was a transition, what does that look like? To me, like the deeper conversation is what I enjoy and what comes natural to me. So I realized that, like, if this was going to continue to scale, there's two ways. I hired people that enjoy and are good at, you know, strategy and selling, or I work with other founders who are maybe looking to, you know, exit, retire, transition, merge, acquire, whatever that is, and learn about them and find out if it's a good fit. And I will tell you that, you know, Lori, I hope she listens to this, but she would tell you that the first question that I position to people is, what are your values? What do you value? Because if the values aren't aligned, it's not going to be a very easy, cohesive transition, right? And fortunately, with the most recent acquisition, they were like spot on. Lori is a rock star, man. She's like, she's a sponge of knowledge, and I want to just learn from her because she's built something so spectacular over 31 years. And, you know, like, to me, it's an honor that she even considers me as someone that, you know, she's willing to have, like, live her legacy out, you know, through her business. So, you know, I know I'm kind of spiraling here, but I think what that looks like is, you know, if you're interested in growing your business through merger or acquisition, start having conversations, put it out into the atmosphere, tell people, you know, don't offend them, but just say, like, if there is ever an opportunity to have a conversation down the road, if you're ever looking to exit, I would love to be someone that would be considered, you know, if it's not now and it's in 20 years, great. Right. But, you know, it's okay to put that out there. Right. And so you start to, again, that's the, like the idea of manifesting, right. You start to put that out there and it gradually happens. So that's like the intro phase, like the philosophical idea. But then, like, the micro is like, make sure you have an attorney that understands mergers and acquisitions. And because without the attorney, I would be lost. You know, all the little nuances and the contract assignment log and agreements. And, you know, what Lori and I, the founder of the other company, were joking because, like, there was like a list of things that we had to do, and like three of them were like, I don't even know what that means. Her and I were like, we don't even know what this means, right? So, you know, make sure the seller and you have a good attorney that are going to work well with each other to be able to come to, you know, the agreement. But, you know, do your due diligence, you know, really dive in and understand, look at the contracts that are in place. Understand the contracts that are in place. You know, when the seller is ready and you have an offer, a letter of intent signed, you know, enter into some sort of non-compete that you can talk to their employees and learn about their employees and like really dive in. And then just prepare yourself for the idea of learning and understanding, and then like creating process. Again, Lindsay McCutcheon, you know, when I told her, she's like, Louis, that's awesome, but remember, don't lose the culture, right? And she's so right, because fortunately, Lori and I did our due diligence in advance, and we made sure our values aligned. But like, if the culture is like this, forget it, right? Like, you have two agencies that are now trying to be like this, but they're like this.
Right.
How is that going to work, right? So make sure you don't lose the culture. Make sure you have sight on the values that are going to make it easy and seamless. That's, you know, some advice. I'm trying to think if there's any other good pieces.
No, that's really, really, really good. I mean, I'll say this, and then we can wrap up. I'll say this. You know, it's really, when you were saying you're not a good salesperson, I think what happens is that when you're a good listener, and I think that's probably one of your strengths, when you're a really, really good listener, and you can have really deep conversations, like you say, are they your skills? That's 100% the number one thing in selling. And where it almost becomes where they're now offering. So there is no sale process where it's, you know, you're asking, yes, you're asking, but now it becomes like an offer. And I think a lot of people think of sales as, hey, we're on two sides of the table. And in reality, what I think that you do probably very well is you get on the same side of the table. And then the other parts are just, you know, hey, you know, the legalities of putting something together, you know, that's the boring part. We don't care about that part anyway. We both want something like this to occur. So let's let the professionals handle that side. But at the same time, as long as it makes sense on both parties with the values, like you said, I think then it's a home run. I just wanted to say thank you, Louis. I appreciate you coming on here.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun. Yeah, we definitely need to catch up. You know, I think another thing that you're going to be able to do very well anytime you want is anything in real estate. You know, I know that's something that I'm sure you have a passion for, or a little bit of a passion for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
I'm
anytime.
Learning. I'm trying to be as good as you at real estate someday.
yeah. Right. Well, if we can work together on something, that'd be great. Guys, that was Louis Mayer. Welcome and thank you. But the show is now over, and make sure you subscribe, you like it, you tell your friends. I know a lot of people are watching. That's really cool. But, you know, when you come up to me and tell me, hey, I really liked your episode, why not like it? Why not share it? Right? Yeah, everyone sees it. And it's, you know.
It's like that meme.
What's that?
Why aren't you famous? It's like, it's like that meme. Yeah. Why aren't you famous yet? Because you ain't shared my shit.
Yeah, why did you share my shit? Well, I will say this. For people listening, if that's something, I don't care. I have no expectations with this at all. But if you got value out of it, great, and like it. But if you didn't, that's cool. Comment and tell me why you didn't like it. That's all. The other thing is, I'll say this. It doesn't matter how many people, you know, who sees this. Or who I see is what I should say. I don't care who I see. I don't care about the likes or the views and that stuff. It's who sees me. And I know a lot of you are. And that's the deal. And that's why we do it. All right, guys. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you later. Bye. Thank you for tuning into the Marty Grazani Show. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, leave us an honest rating and review. If you're on Spotify, make sure you follow us for weekly episodes.